Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's a little mini Daniel Sturridge tribute, ever so slightly ad hoc. I've got Steve Graves, I've got Rob Gutman. Daniel Sturridge has left Liverpool after having been here since the January of 2013. It's a six-year stint that he's done for the Reds. And at times, Steve Graves, he was the best person you've ever seen score goals for Liverpool.
Comfortably, to the extent that even the manager, who's not, you know, seeing the best of him, pretty much said that himself as he was departing. I mean, we'll get on to what Klopp said, I think, because there was a lot to it, and it was really, really nice. Said a lot about both of them, I think. He was, for a period, the absolute best thing you've ever seen, and then for a period, the best thing that you weren't able to see, and that was horrible. Then there was a kind of decline, and then points of resurrection along the way, all of which were glorious. There's such a interesting and complex and intelligent character, allied to his sort of incredible natural ability, and then this sort of fatal, sort of tragic flaw around his fitness and just literal ability to get on the pitch, and then subsequently the sort of being able to get on the pitch, but clearly not being able to deliver, not being able to get into the positions that his brain would clearly want him to be in. There's an awful lot, and it, you know, probably merits an awful lot more time than we're able to give it. But it's been a great Liverpool career, or certainly a modern day great Liverpool career, and that's pretty much the phrase that Jurgen Klopp used. He signed it, you know, at a time when Liverpool desperately needed a boost, needed something to give them a sort of shot in the arm to pick up from a tough couple of years and the middle of a sort of season that didn't have a lot of impetus to it, and he and Coutinho alongside him just transformed Liverpool's ambitions for the next sort of 18 months from there. Laid a lot of groundwork and has been a part of so much that we've done, from Klopp's first European final through to scoring the first goal of this Champions League run, through to starting two of the last three league games, which is a bit crazy when you think that they were must-win games as well. A career you could write a book about, I suppose, and I'd actually really like to read a book by him if he ever did one, or sat down with someone to do one.
It's interesting that it is 6 years. It's an incredibly elongated career that it's virtually all post-injury now, quietly. It's one of those careers he has the most unbelievable 18 months, I think, as good an 18 months as almost anyone's ever had for Liverpool Football Club in a certain sense. I even thought in the first 6 months, the last part of the 12-13 season, he was scoring goals of a style and a rate that was Torres-esque. And I said we were ready to build a statue to Torres after 6 months, but nobody quite wanted to sort of take on board what Daniel Sturridge was doing. And then what he did continue to do and add to the following season was slightly overshadowed by Luis Suarez. But it's a phenomenal 18 months. I mean, Everton have all in their minds, all to use the metaphor again, all but built statues to Gary Lineker, who gives them 12 months in the mid-80s. And Sturridge's 12 months was as good, if not better than that. What's slightly strange is that, I don't know what you want to use the word, is that he managed to hang on or sustain a Liverpool career despite not being able to be anywhere near his best for that period beyond. And I think that shows he had mental strength, staying power, a commitment to the cause. And as Klopp said, he emerged as this force in the dressing room, which was important, and important to a number of young players who I think if they were around this table would talk about him with extreme fondness, and who I think when their careers are over will talk about him as a mentor. And I'd probably maybe even include young Rian Brewster, who's already talked about him, Oxlade-Chamberlain. Raheem Sterling has, and several other things, even Jordan Henderson would say so as well. I'm just really sad. He sort of became more of a personality than a player, although he had his moments as a player in the last 3 years. And I think I'll miss the fact that that talismanic quality of his personality is not going to be around.
I miss the watching the goal compilations back as I did last night.
Me too.
It's astonishing.
Yes.
It's astonishing that it's all the goals. It's all the different types. It's all the different makes. It's all the different models that you name them. And in the first sort of 18 months, as Rob says, and he goes on to continue this in a really strange way. You know, even thinking about the goal he scores at the start of this season against West Ham, a back post header. You know, he still scores all the different types of goals. I think that's it's something that is genuinely really unique. I think these days, because of Messi and Suarez, we've sort of decided that, well, yeah, that's normal. It's really not. And that's that he finishes in those categories.
Well, you sort of get it, you know, the sort of Messi, Ronaldo, where they've, and I think, you know, Liverpool have sort of worked on this a lot with like Pep Linders and stuff. You work to get the sort of 100, you know, 9 times out of 10, more than 9 times out of 10 chance. And, you know, your ideal is that you've unpicked an opponent and you're just sort of finishing relatively easily or straightforwardly. And I think it's doing down Salah massively to say that he doesn't score the range of goals that Sturridge scores, because he scored some absolutely incredible goals for Liverpool. But Sturridge is the imagination of it, and the sort of, yeah, the range, you know, from just I like this header at Newcastle. Do you remember that one when he's just kind of suddenly becomes like ramrod straight somehow? It's because that's the only way really that can be directed in. His goal when he comes back against Villa, the sadness of it was that the quality of the goals never really did diminish, and it always just reminded me of what you're missing out on when he came back for little bursts. And so that goal he scores against Villa when Liverpool at a real low point just before the end of Rodgers' reign, and it's just an outside of the foot finish, just natural, all there. It's absolutely incredible. When he comes back, I think in 14-15 he comes back against West Ham, and I think it's on his right foot. He just drills one that you just...
Near post, wasn't it?
I mean, he kick-starts that 13-14 season with the goal against Stoke, which is, you know, he's got no right to score, really. But even by then, you're already thinking that's the type of goal he can score. And then he scores again in Villa, completely different, you know, sort of somehow getting in by hook or by crook in sort of three touches. Then there's Manchester United, you know, 9 points all from Daniel Sturridge. And so many goals, even this season... Without Daniel Sturridge, it's 95 points because we don't get the point at Chelsea. And then, 96, because we don't get the point at Chelsea. The goals, even this season, you know, the header against PSG and the one against Chelsea in the League Cup, which I think will get a little bit forgotten, but the agility and acrobatics of that, which is all still there. So I think you sort of feel like there's still, he's now a footballer who can get himself on the pitch more frequently. If you can find somewhere where there's a little bit less pace about the whole endeavour, he's still got a lot to offer for just all kinds of football teams.
The saddest moment for me, I'll go back to you first, Steve, on this, then I'll bring Rob in, is always going to be the goal he scores, which doesn't even count in pre-season against Bayern. When he streaks through, and he's all the pace that he's always been one more time, and he streaks through on goal, and in the act of scoring the goal is where you sort of realise you'll never score that goal again. And he must sort of realise he'll never score that goal again. And that, genuinely, it's always stayed with me, that the sheer sadness of that little moment is that it's incredible. It's incredibly done, incredibly realised. But it ultimately means it is the end of this, of some aspect of this here, because it was just when he looked absolutely right again.
Yeah, and the last one of them he scores that sort of isn't clouded by that is probably the West Ham in the 4-0, isn't it, in Coutinho. Picks him out, and that was sort of the combination at the very start, and it kind of bookends a passage in both of their careers, really, because I think there was a sort of special connection between those two footballers. Yeah. I think there's a bit of a sadness that we saw a bit of that with Naby Keita in the summer, and that it could have been a thing. And by the time Keita sort of is integrated into the team, Sturridge is out of it, and then by the time Sturridge comes back in at the end, Naby Keita's got the injury, so you never really get him to see those two combine very much, apart from against Chelsea in that League Cup game when they actually did quite well. He formed relationships with footballers, I think. He was clearly and maybe a little bit sort of a bit of a Yari Littmanen thing, in that he has a real football brain. You forget he's a second generation footballer. He's from a footballing family. He knows a lot of the sort of, I think maybe this is part of the thing with leadership with younger players, knows a lot of the, you know, the things around the game, the things that can happen to footballers. You know, and perhaps has been able to help them with that. I mean, I think with the attitude thing, and the leadership that Klopp identified, I think it says a lot about Jurgen Klopp as well, that he can encourage challenge in as a form of leadership. You know, he talked about Daniel's never afraid to speak up when something's wrong, and you can completely imagine that. Can't you? But that Jurgen Klopp is strong enough and big enough and good enough a manager to take a footballer who not many of us would have expected him to keep, I think, for lots of different reasons, at various different points, not only to keep him, but to sort of champion that voice within his dressing room says a lot about him.
I think he's a manager, Daniel Sturridge, if he wants to be. I think...
Oh, man, I'd love that. Oh,
I would love that. I think he's, you know, the way he is around people. I think he's got an edge to him. I think he intimidates in a positive, friendly way. I think he is warm when he wants to be. And I think he's got a joyful immaturity to him, which has begun to diminish down the years. And I think give it another 3 or 4 years will fade to make him quite a fearsome... The boy will become quite a fearsome man, quite a positive man. And I would look forward to Daniel Sturridge as a manager. I think he's got the personality attributes. He's bright, but I think to be a top manager, you have to be super bright. But we can't really know that because you don't really know a player the way you get to know managers yet.
What's your favourite Daniel Sturridge goal?
Whoa.
Pick one to cherish and hold.
If I feel like I'm going straight for the obvious one. I think it's against West Brom or Fulham.
The chip against West Brom.
I think that's just a moment of sublime genius. There's many which are just unbelievable striker goals, but that one is sublime genius.
Steve?
Oh, man, you can't make me pick one.
Pick one.
Actually, sorry, there is one other he scores like that against Fulham in his first season, in the middle of the hat-trick.
That hat-trick was unbelievable, wasn't it? It's that sort of scorer of great goals or great goal scorer that you have to choose somehow, and he just never did. He was both and also meaningful goals as well, as we've said. Kind of the whole package, really. I suppose that's why I wouldn't pick the UEFA Cup, the Europa League final goal, even though it is perhaps technically his best, because it ultimately means nothing. I think the sort of the look over the shoulder and lift it over Tim Howard goal in the derby is hard to fault. I mean, I'm going to stop because you've asked for one, but is the equaliser for 3-3 at Goodison is pretty special as well.
The header,
yeah.
That is brilliant.
It's not his best goal, but as a moment, it is absolutely incredible.
Absolutely incredible. Pretty special. That was indeed Daniel Sturridge. So lucky to watch him play for Liverpool. Sports Social Podcast Network.